thought for today. Kindness costs nothing, yet it brings things that are priceless. Kindness costs nothing, yet it brings things that are priceless. Kindness costs nothing, yet it brings things that are priceless. You just heard a story about a man who was kind to a friend, kind to a person who became a friend or something like that. And because he was kind, his dream worked out. We have a tendency to think that when we're kind to people or when we do nice things to people, they owe us a debt. They owe us a debt. We offer our services to our students oftentimes, allowing them to come to campus at no charge, allowing them to attend seminars at no charge, allowing them to live on campus and eat on campus and do all these things, and sometimes even helping them with their airfare to get here. And then we feel that they owe us an obligation, that they must do something. You see, that's not kindness. That's not anything except creating an obligation. If we ever create an obligation, if we ever do anything that makes anyone beholden to us, then we are the misers. Then we are the sad, unrewarding people. A lot of parents, they say, I've taken care of you all my life. Now that I'm in my old age, you got to take care of me. Well, that's bad reasoning. In China, you take care of your parent because that's tradition. It's not a matter of whether the parent did anything nice or whether the parent was terrible. Maybe the parent was a bad parent by the standards of the rest of the parents. But you go by tradition, you take care of them. Kindness has nothing to do with tradition. It has nothing to do with anything. Kindness is a indescribable thing. It's something that that is done because it's your nature to do it. Like when a little child shares his toys, and his mother says, now share your toys, Johnny. And he goes out there and he says, here, you want to play with this? You want to borrow my toy? Well, now, that's doing what his mother tells him to do, but not with the right attitude. The attitude he has is an attitude of gruffness, an attitude of, I really don't want to do it. But when a child shares with his friends because he does not feel limited, he does not feel that those are the only toys he has, when he just shares because it's his nature to share, that's kindness. What do you think of this? You're fishing. And when you're fishing, you catch a fish. And the fish is too small. So you take it off the hook and throw it back in. Now, how do you take it off the hook? Do you take the fish gently in your hand and say, well, fellow, got a little more growing up to do, and gently take the hook out of his mouth so you don't hurt him? And then say, go back and maybe we can meet another day, and throw him in the water and let him swim away. Or do you say, oh, darn, another one too small, click, pump, you know, another one too small, click, tuck. Now, which act is an act of kindness? The act of kindness is an act that has love in it. An act of kindness is an act that has peace and gentleness, caringness in it. Have you learned how to be kind? Have you learned how to be peaceful, gentle, and caring? Have you learned how to do these things? Or are these things you just wish you knew? Think about it. Because a lot of times we think we do things out of kindness. And we're doing them as a manipulation. We want the person to be in our control. Like it might seem to us when we invite people to campus here and we pay their way and we do all these things. We say, well, my goodness, what are we trying to do? Just create a program where we have a captive audience? If that's the case, then that's bad. If that's the case, then we're going to only end up with a painful heart, because we're going to say, well, now, if you come to campus, you're going to have to do some work. If you come here, you're going to have to do that. If you do this, you're going to have to do that. You see, that's not kindness. That's just pure manipulation. If a person comes to campus, they will cooperate with the campus program because they're here on campus, whether they pay or whether they don't. They're going to cooperate with the campus program. It's not a matter that because they pay, they don't have to do things. It's not a matter because they don't pay, they have to do things. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is a very subtle point, and I'm making it very straight out, because this is something that a lot of us have had feelings about. And those feelings can be very destructive for a harmonious relationship. Very destructive. Then you have a beautiful personality who comes to campus and they're just a joy to have, and you don't even think a thing about it. Another person comes to campus and they're working through some pretty tough problems for them, and they're not all too well balanced. And you think, oh, who needs that? Who needs that here? Who needs that person here? Let's not encourage that kind of person to come here. They would just be disruptive to the whole attitude of campus. Well, what is the attitude of campus? The attitude of campus is kindness, gentleness. It's teaching our philosophy. It's living our philosophy. It's being our philosophy. All true. If we went downtown in San Diego and went down to the Skid Row area there, and we said to all the fellas and ladies down there, friends, would you like to have a place to live and have food, all the food you want, and just come out and just lounge around? Oh, hey, where is that place? Sounds like paradise to me. And so they'd all come out here, and they would lounge around, and they would eat, and they would be taken care of, and their medical expenses taken care of, and their clothing taken care of, and then we'd encourage them to take our courses, but we couldn't do that because that wasn't part of the deal. Part of the deal was just, hey, free meal, free bed, free place to be. Now, we could do that, and we'd have this place filled. Do we want that? Monasteries could have it themselves filled if they allowed every person who wanted to come there to come there. But the abbot talks to the people before they come there and tells them every single detail about the monastery, tells them every single thing, what is the purpose of being there. And then if they have the wrong purpose in being there, they will leave very quickly by their own choice. If their purpose in being there is to grow spiritually and to find their inner self and listen to the divine within, super, they will find they're in the right place. Now, everybody isn't looking for their inner path as we teach it. There are many ways to look for your inner path. There are many religions, there are many philosophies. And we are not being kind to people when we encourage them to follow our philosophy when it's not their philosophy. They may one day embrace our philosophy. One day they may feel that this philosophy is very wonderful for them. But we don't win any laurels for them or us if we encourage someone to do something against their will. Be very careful. We talk to people about who and what we are. We're very kind to people. We tell them how wonderful they are and what geniuses they are. We tell them what great potential they have in life, what great actual they have in life. And we tell them just how wonderful they are. And as we tell them how wonderful they are, they say, hey, I like your philosophy. I like your attitude. I like this. And then we throw the kicker at them. We say, I am God, God I am, and you are God. What the heck is this? What kind of a nonsense place is this, teaching I am God? I have learned all of my life and all of my religious teachings that there's only one God, and that God is greater than I am, and that God is the creator of all. Why are you saying I'm God? You people must be sort of strange, way out. So you see, they don't really believe in our philosophy. Now, They believe in liking themselves as human beings. They believe in following their way. And we're not being kind to anyone when we encourage them to do something which is not contrary to, which is contrary to what they believe. Now, if we have wisdom, which comes in a very tight commodity, if we have wisdom, we will say to these people, you are the creator of your world by your thought. We will talk to them psychologically. We'll talk to them philosophically. We will leave the God concept until later. And when the God concept comes, they will be so aware of who they are that it'll be the most natural thing in the world. We do put the God concept first in our syllabus and first in our gist and things like that, because that's what we teach and that's who we are. But when we talk to people, when we meet people, when we go to conferences, when we travel around the world, when we meet them in the public transportation, we meet them in public buildings and in the parks, we meet them wherever we meet them, in the stores, they're drawn to us because our charisma is so harmonious. Our charisma is so light and joyful. And they're drawn to us. And they don't know why. And they may be a million miles down the road from the I am God concept. But they're not a million miles down the road from I like me. I like me. You see, kindness costs nothing. It costs nothing to tell people how wonderful they are, because that's the way we see them. Yet it buys things that are priceless. It buys an awareness within themselves that they are wonderful and that we are wonderful. It's a reconfirmation to ourselves how wonderful we are. Now, are you ready for this type of a world that you're living in? Are you ready to, how do I tell you to cook?
Medium.
Are you ready to go quickly, medium, and average? You see, most of the time we want to rush right in. I'm God, you're God. And they're not ready for that. We're not ready for that. Are you aware of what it means to be God? Even a little bit? If you're a little bit aware, then you've done yourself a great kindness. If you're a lot aware, that's even more wonderful. But the more aware you are that you are God, the less you talk about it, and the more you live it. The more that you are aware that you are God, the more advanced you are in your understanding of who and what you are, that you're God. The less you talk about it, and the more you live it. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready to live what you are? That's pure kindness, living it. Have people come up to you and say, hey, you're quite a person. It's remarkable being around you. What do you study? How did you get this way? I said, well, I just like myself. My mother taught me that I was a good person, and that everybody else in the world is a good person, and that I only know good people. I surround myself with good people. So you're walking down the crowded street, and there's a whole bunch of people on the street you're walking along, and so you're walking right among them. Now, a lot of those people are not good people. They're not good people. They're not good people. But you don't know that. You bring out the good in every person, regardless whether they're not good people or good people. You are so beautiful. You are so aware of your divine self that you cannot see not good people. You only see good people. Someone else in the world may look at these people and say, oh, they're not good people. And then you immediately understand that that person themselves understands these not good people, so they must have that not good people about them. And we don't even want to see that. We immediately see them seeing everyone as a beautiful person, because this is how we see them. It's not that we're creating them doing something they don't want to do. It's we're creating ourselves seeing whatever we see beautiful, lovely, fantastic. You say, Herb, that sounds awfully human. Is the divine path always so human? Yes. I will tell you a secret that no one in the world will tell you, but I'll tell you right now. The divine path is 100% human. The divine path is 100% human. The divine path is 100% human. You are human. You chose to play the human game. I chose to play the human game. We all choose to play the human game. Okay. Now we're playing this human game of being human. So we get in our car, which is our body, and we drive it to our human destination. Now, can anyone tell me what our human destination is? Our human destination is to be divine. Our pathway is being ourself and having fun. Okay? The human path we're taking is being ourself and having fun. Our destination is being divine, which we already are. Be aware of it, which we can be. So, our car, our vehicle, our body, is that device that we use on this planet, in this dimension of life, to be a human being. Now, if I say to you, this dog is a divine dog, you say, oh, how about that? This dog is a divine dog. Well, the dog looks like an ordinary dog to me. Why do you call it divine? Because it's created by God, by us, by God, by me, by God. And anything I create is divine. But it's so limited, it has a dog's body and a dog's mind and a dog's attitudes. How can it be God? Well, it expresses as much of God as I choose it to express. Now, let's just play a little game here for a moment. I have told you whatever wild and crazy thing you can imagine is true. Whatever strange and far out idea you have in your consciousness, it is true. No matter what it is you think about, it is true. So now, they had a book. The book had an interesting theme to it, and it was the animals were running the world, and the humans were working for the animals. The animals were the intelligent creatures, and the humans were working for the animals. The animals did not have to think. Of course, in this book, they're the thinkers. They just took over the role of humans, and the humans took over the role of animals. But how can that be? How can that be that animals take over the role of humans? Because anything can be. Anything can be. Remember the movie Planet of the Apes? Where the apes had taken over the world and the humans were just the apes of the man? Well, why not? Why not? What is it that the Planet of the Apes exemplified so tremendously? The Planet of the Apes exemplified the idea of humanity, man's humanity to man. In other words, the apes, apeness to apes, the apes, apeness to apes. And what was that apeness? The apes were kind to each other. They were loving to each other. They had a hierarchy. They did everything. You see, we think that just because animals are animals, they're not divine. The animal is just as divine as you or I, and the animal is using its body to be itself and have fun, playing whatever game it chooses to play. You are playing whatever game you're choosing to play. And now, what is the game that you're choosing to play? Do you want to play the game of kindness or meanness, of gentleness or anger? It's either or. If you are a kind person, a gentle person, a loving person, you cannot be mean, hateful, or unkind. What is the game that we're playing? Kindness costs nothing, yet it brings things that are priceless. What are these things that it brings that are priceless? It brings to each of us an inner feeling of peace. When you do a kind act, when you express yourself as kindness, you feel good inside. When you express yourself as love, you feel love inside, and so on. Whatever it is that you express, you feel that inside. And again, if you express hate, you feel that inside. Because the only person you're hating is yourself. And you're compounding all that anger and hate inside of yourself to make you sick, to make you, your body not operate perfectly. A harmonious body, being yourself and having fun. A harmonious body is one where you're kind to yourself. You say, I like me. You say, I know. You say, I am. You leave beside those words that say, I can't, I don't know, and that you don't like yourself. You leave that beside. And you're kind to yourself because the gift is priceless. What it buys, what it brings you, is priceless. That inner feeling of peace. How many times have you gone to bed with a stomachache? And you said, this feels terrible. Oh, got to get an aspirin. Got to do this. And how many times when you went to bed with a stomachache, you said, I'm at peace. Whatever doesn't belong in my body, I release it. I'm at peace. I'm at peace. You don't even have to say whatever doesn't belong in my body, I release it. Just say, I'm at peace. And when you say I'm at peace, then all the organ action functions of your body cooperate to do one thing. They cooperate to make your body act harmoniously. They cooperate to make your body feel comfortably. Should we want to do it, we can say, I have perfect eyes. Should we want to do it, we can say, I have perfect hearing. I have a perfect nose. I have a perfect mind. I have a perfect body. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you, when is the last time you said, I have perfect eyes? Remember Gerd's letter? He said, I had tears of joy out of my perfect eyes. You see, he learned a lesson in reading his first art and science lesson. And he learned a lesson, and that is, name it and claim it. And so he's naming it like Adam named everything upon the face of the earth. Gerd was born new, and he's naming it. He named his wife. He named his daughters. He named his former wife. He named his place. He named everything good. And he named his new friends good and invited them to his place. Now, why would Stefan and Irene, Anita, Gertrude, Herbert, Monica, Christina, whoever all went, why would they travel that distance to go to Garrett's place? Unless Garrett was expressing a very wonderful quality. I mean, a place is a place is a place. It doesn't matter where you hold your meetings. But they were blessing Garrett's place, weren't they? They were bringing peace and joy. They were being kind. Because surely that was far out of the way. But they wanted to see what Garrett had. They wanted to know. And when they found out, they were delighted, which they knew ahead of time. I was in New York, and my host said to me, "Let's go hear this lady." I said, "Whatever you want to do." And then he heard my lectures. And my lectures were, "Be yourself and have fun. Follow no one else but the divine within you. Listen only to the divine within you. Open your ears only to the divine within you. Only to the divine within you. Only to the divine." Then he came to me later and he says, "Herb, I don't think we're going to go hear that lady." And then he said, "Because we probably have to go on a bus with a lot of other people and then stay there and come back when the bus comes back. It'll be very late, and I don't think we want to go." Well, now, why did he say this bus thing? Because in previous times, he was a great sponsor of these things. He was a great one to gather people together and get them on the bus and take them to these events. Take them to Las Vegas. Take them to various speakers. But in one weekend, he changed his entire life. In one weekend of listening to these talks, not very many, because he had a lot of other talks in there, but listening to the talks that I gave and the sharing that I did with him, he realized he is a wonderful person and that the only thing he wants to do is to be himself and have fun. He's not putting on the church as he had thought he was doing to help others. He's not conducting the church to be an emissary of God. He's doing all these things to be himself and have fun. Now, he hasn't fully got the message, but he's got the first steps in it. We don't expect conversions here in God Unlimited. We don't expect people to come here from a negative point of view and instantly take on our positive point of view. What we do expect here is kindness. The ability to like yourself, to like others, to respect what's going on. And if you like the type of music that you hear when you hear Paderewski play, if the music that he plays delights your heart, and you say, "I want to play like that," Paderewski says, "Are you sure? You can buy my tapes, you can buy my CDs, you don't have to play like that." "Oh, yes, I have that music in my soul." Then he says, "All right, start training yourself in music. Start training yourself to play the piano. Start training yourself in musicology. Start learning what music is all about, how music is the expression of the divine man, how you listen within, not thinking of what other people want to have, but only what comes up from your own indwelling self." And you see, Paderewski is doing you a kindness because he's saying to you, you don't need to play music to thrill in it, but if you want to play, then start at the bottom. Start right at the first level to gently have all of those things incorporated into your life. And you'll be so happy and so fulfilled and so rewarded. Paderewski would be doing a kindness to a person. And I assure you, that's exactly what they do. Kindness costs nothing, yet it buys things that are priceless. Kindness costs nothing, yet it buys things that are priceless. kindness costs nothing. It buys things that are priceless. And that's pretty exciting.